Washington, D.C. And that does it for our broadcast. If you want to cut a copy of today's show, go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkshire, Voto Caduceo, Mate Angeli, Comet, Jeffrey Hagerman, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Ricardo Lobo. I'll be in Washington celebrating WPFW on Saturday night at the Washington Convention Center. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, this is Joan Jett from the Blackhearts, and you're rocking with WUSB Stony Brook 90.1. Yeah!
And this is radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, as you just heard. It's 6 o'clock, time once again for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening in December, where we have a rather interesting program for you tonight. First, let's look over a couple of things going on in the news, because that's always fun to do. Report just came out. Just came out as I was getting in the car. I had to be called back to get this. After getting off to a fast start last month, holiday sales at some of the nation's largest retailers have slowed to, get this, an excruciatingly slow pace, and mall traffic has dropped dramatically. Yeah, these results, coming only 2 weeks before the most commercial holiday of the year, jeopardizes an already weak holiday sales period. It's almost like this time of year only means money and profit. Imagine that. Anyway, chain store sales rose a mere 0.2% for the week ended December 8th, following a disappointing 2% sales decline in the prior week. Okay, well, you know, maybe people are just afraid of being mowed down in the malls, you know, when they go out shopping. It's incredible. It's incredible what we sort of brush aside. All this happened in a week. And we're not even talking about it anymore. Of course, I'm referring to the latest, actually, it's not even the latest shooting anymore. There have been several since then. But this one having to do with people in a mall in Omaha being mowed down by the latest crazed maniac with a high-powered automatic weapon. Unreal. Really is unreal. And then to see the thing that happened on Sunday, this is classic. This is the kind of thing that people listening in other countries simply, they think we're making it up. They think the writers are not really on strike, and that we're continuing to produce the most incredible material that's simply unbelievable by any other standards. But not here in the United States. Here in the United States, this kind of thing is real, all too real. In Colorado Springs, a gunman opened fire in the parking lot of a Colorado Springs church on Sunday, striking four people, according to the church's pastor. Now, here's the thing. It was not immediately known whether the shootings were related to an earlier shooting about 70 miles away in the Denver suburb of Arvada at another church. There are so many shootings, we don't even know if one church shooting is related to another one only a few miles away. Could be completely different, isolated instances. We have so many people. People are lined up around the block to engage in shootings. It's high demand. My God. But this is a story that ran in the Times. And I just found it wrong on so many levels. A gunman killed two staff members at a missionary training center early Sunday after being told he couldn't spend the night. And about 12 hours later, four people were shot at a busy megachurch in Colorado Springs. Of course, these numbers are old. I'm sure they've gone up since then. Colorado Springs Police Lieutenant Fletcher Howard said a suspect had been detained in the shootings at the New Life Church, which I believe is also wrong. I think he was killed or something. A source who was locked down at the church Sunday afternoon said a security guard had shot and killed the gunman. Now, okay, you know, this kind of thing just goes right by us. We don't even think twice about it. Armed security guards inside churches? Is that what we've come to? Yes, that's what we've come to. We have armed security guards everywhere now. Inside schools, inside churches, inside malls. It's simply... I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. This is tragedy. This is horrible. But it's an absurd situation. And unfortunately, we're not going to have time to spend on it tonight. I wish we did. I wish we did because there's so much to talk about, so many issues to get involved with. But we have other things to talk about, other more timely issues because what's happening tonight is kind of a special program. It's the flip side of a program we did back in May 29th, 2007, where we talked to a good friend of mine, who was facing some serious problems, a friend called Lurid from Ohio, who was... facing the prospect of a long period of time in prison for not mowing down people in a mall or a church or threatening anybody, doing anything violent, but for such things as visiting his mother or taking a trip to a different county or giving somebody a ride in his car. I don't really have... a whole lot of time to go into the details. It's all online if you go to Off the Wall, www.2600.com/Off the Wall. You can hear the entire story back in May where we were discussing how he got into so much trouble to start with. And you would think that somebody who was facing, I believe he was facing up to 88 months in prison. How does somebody get into that much trouble? It's amazing. This could be anybody. But basically, simply by having one thing happen, and then a series of events where you're perceived as not having respect for the rules. And that can be accomplished in a lot of different ways, simply by misunderstanding instructions. In one case, he misread the back of some form that said he was not allowed. He thought it said he wasn't allowed to leave the country. It said county. And as soon as he stepped out of the county, he was violated a term meaning basically that you're in violation of your probation. And in another instance, another couple of instances, he was tested positive for drugs. Later, it was found to be not true. They did a retest and realized it was medication that he was legitimately on that caused this. No apology, nothing like that. Plenty of time spent in jail cells while they were sorting all this out. And the final straw was when he went to Florida to visit his mother and thought he had permission. Thought he had permission, but in fact needed to fill out an additional form and found out about it only when he got back. And at that point, he was a repeat offender insofar as not following the rules and was facing a huge amount of prison time. And the both good and bad news, or the bad news is that he was in fact sent to prison. In fact, I visited him a few weeks ago. The good news is that it could have been a lot longer. It could have been a lot longer than it turned out to be. It turned out to be about 6 months. And that 6 months is coming to an end this week. And so we're happy to have, hopefully, if this works out, we had to do a lot of things tonight. We asked Larry to give us a call at around 10 after 6. It's 9 after 6 now. We'll see how prompt he is. And we'll see if the technology that we set in place actually works. But if it all works out, we'll be getting a call, not a call directly from the prison, a call from a line I've set up that will forward a call to me. So you might hear some weird recordings as we... Let's actually make sure that the phone works before we even do this. Can we get a dial tone? Okay, that's good. A pulsing dial tone. That's what we need to hear. All right. Oh, look at that. The phone's ringing. Let's see who's there. Good evening.
All four.
Don't forget to record your name here.
To accept this call, press 1. To reject
I forgot
this
to
call,
record my
press
name.
2.
Okay, let's
to send the call to voicemail, press 3.
Let's accept the call.
Go ahead now.
And now here's the prison.
Maximum cost of this call, press 9. For customer assistance and collection or complaint procedures, dial 1-800-231.
Let's just hit 0.
Your call is being connected. Thank you for using Global Telling.
Lurid, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Greetings from an Ohio state penitentiary.
It's like you were listening to us because I was basically introing you and saying that you were going to call at about 10 after 6. You called exactly at 10 after 6. That's incredible.
Well, you know, glad I could be punctual. So
They have good clocks there over at the prison.
Yeah. You know, we make sure they're synced. It's very they care about details here.
All right, so now, can we say the name of your institution, or would you rather we not?
No, that's fine.
Okay, it's kind of a funny name, so why don't you say it?
Well, I am at a Noble Correctional Institution.
Noble Correctional Institution. What's so noble about it?
Absolutely nothing, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
You know, I'm here in the middle of nowhere. I've never even heard of the town that I'm in. Didn't know it existed, but
uh-huh.
It's here, and I guess this whole town's supported by this prison. Everybody that lives here works at the prison,
Well, not everybody, because I went and had breakfast at the one restaurant in town, and nobody there seemed to work at the prison. But I'm sure they knew everybody else who did.
Right. No, most definitely.
You really are in the middle of nowhere. You're not very far from the interstate, but there's nothing around. It really is absolutely nothing, which I guess can be good in some ways if you're trying to get away from it all, but not in the way that that you've been experiencing it.
No, absolutely not. I mean, here all I can really see, out on the yard is mountains. Apparently, we can see West Virginia from here, and we can also see a McDonald's sign, which. No, that kind of stinks because we know we're definitely not going to get any of that. But
that's not so bad. Don't beat yourself up over that so much. I've given the folks a bit of a rundown as to what landed you in there. Your life of crime, such things as giving people rides in your car, and visiting your mother, and exiting the county when you thought it was the country, and things like that. When we last talked on the radio, you were facing, I think you told us between 11 and 88 months, and in fact, you've only gotten 6 months. So I guess, to a degree, there's a bit of good in this, right?
Well, yeah, no, that, I mean, what I actually got sentenced to was I got a 9-month sentence. The majority of it was done in the county, and by the time that I got to the prison, I only had to do 6 months. Yeah, and I will say that 9 months is considerably better than 88. So for a while there, I was kind of sweating it, but you know everything turned out, I think, better than it could have. So I really can't complain.
Well, I think you can complain because a lot of bad things have happened to you in that place. You've been attacked a couple of times. You've had to spend a significant amount of time in solitary confinement in the hole. You want to tell us something about how that happened, first of all?
Well, I mean, the majority of what goes on here is, okay, well, we got to start with what kind of prison this is. This is a medium security, which means that it's majority violent offenders. And it's filled with people from some of the most crime-ridden cities in Ohio, which are Dayton, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Zanesville. So, I mean, you take all these violent criminals and you put them all in one small confined area together, and I mean, the results are just bound to be bad. I mean, most of the people are in here for robbery, and that's mostly what goes on in here. People, they...
So where they pick up their skills for the next time.
Yeah, there you go, because, you know, I mean, I think something like 73% of people that leave here anyway come back. So, you know, there you go. But, the majority of it's just people stealing. You know, when somebody steals from you, you can't let them just steal from you. You know what I'm saying? You got to fight, and...
Well, okay, let's get into that a little bit. First of all, when you first arrived, you were you're in a different part of the prison now. You were in sort of a big room with everybody?
Right. Well, okay, where I was before was what they called the young person dorm, age 20 and under, which makes no sense seeing as I'm...
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
Or broadcast.
Old.
I'm sorry, so we missed that. It makes no sense because why?
Because I'm 21. However, being diabetic, they put you on what they call a low bunk, low range restriction. So they didn't have any bottom beds open anywhere else. So they keep me with all these young kids. And that's crazy because these younger kids, you know, 18, 19, and 20, they're out of their minds. Like, I don't know what's wrong with them. Everyone here, they don't mind their own business, and they steal and fight. And I mean, in there, it was at least 9 fights a day, you know? I mean, it's crazy. That was slightly stressful, and that's where, you know, everything that went wrong, you know, since I've been here went wrong.
So basically, they keep everybody, what's the actual setup? This one big room?
Well, no, what it is there's in each dorm, there's 5 buildings, with bottom and top level, and then, you know, labeled A, B, C, D, and E. And, they pretty much separate it into 2 sides, and it's just a bunch of bunk beds, in each one. And each level holds 240 people. So, I mean, that's a lot to squeeze into a pretty small area because it's really not that big. And then they've got the bathroom, which has 10 toilets, you know, 10 urinals, 10 toilets, which is definitely not enough for 240 people. But, you know, nothing I can do about that. And, and then they got 2 TV rooms where they have, 2 channels we can get since we're out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But going on to, you know, what landed me in the hole, as it were, was, they give you, when you come in, you get a big metal box and a little crappy padlock that, you know, you got in high school to put on your locker, that doesn't really protect you from anything, and people will just, when you're not around, they'll put another box on your lock and jump on it and break it off and then just take everything that you have. And, I went in there for a while without any problems. I did, you know, like 3 months here. Nobody really, really messed with me or anything. And then just for some reason, somebody decided that they were going to do that. And I found out who it was. And, you know, we fought. And,
if we can just go into that for just a second. Keep in mind that while you are in prison, many of our listeners are toddlers and can have to be protected from certain words, according to the FCC, that is. So now you basically found out that some of your stuff had been taken. How did you find out who it was, and how exactly did you begin the conversation with that person?
Well, I mean, everybody here is hungry for drama. It's just like high school, you know. Everybody just wants drama to occur. So, you know, of course people ran up. But, you know, I get back, I see that my lock's gone. I look in my box, and my stuff's gone. And you know, people start running up, hey, this person had this to do with it, this had this to do with it. And, this particular group of people are known for attacking numerous of them on one of me. And so, you know, from there I just had to go into the bathroom where there were no cameras and just be like, hey, while he was by himself. And then it went down and, you know, people group around, and the COs that are in each dorm, you know, they pay attention to that kind of stuff, and then they cuffed me and took me to the hole, and then I got out, and then the very next day that I got out, somebody did that again, and same thing occurred, went back, and, you know, it's just been drama and drama and drama, and, you know, the most the worst thing about the whole situation was that I was trying to get moved out of that dorm, you know, this whole entire time that I've been here, and you know, based on good behavior, you know, not getting any tickets or breaking any of their rules, pretty much. And you know, the second I get into two fights, you know, they move me out and move me into a better place with a bunch of older guys, which is, you know, cool because they're just trying to do their time. You know what I mean? They're not on all the drama and fighting and stealing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it still goes on, but not quite as much.
And what general things are they in for?
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
Doesn't really answer my question.
Generally,
but
they playing cards, watching TV, and reading books.
But that's not what they're in for. What sent them in there in the first place?
Oh, I mean, you know, it's all the same stuff. You know, armed robbery,
uh-huh,
assault. You know, there's some people in here that, you know, that have killed people, and you know, they've been locked up for a while, and they've got their security level dropped down to medium. So
you actually are walking around with murderers?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Incredible. Now, did you find anybody there who had an offense anywhere near what you committed?
No, and the reason for that, you know, I was supposed to be classed at what they call a 1B, which is minimum security, which would have sent me to a minimum security camp. However, because I was a probation violation, they decided that was like, I guess, kind of like an escape or a failure to appear or something like that. So they boosted me up to medium, you know, and I have yet to talk to anybody that's in here for something that little. I mean, now there are people in here, you know, that got caught with you know, drugs or something, but they also had a gun on them, you know what I mean? So,
uh-huh,
you know, that gives them aggravated drug trafficking and things like that. So, I mean, but no, to answer your question, really, nobody that I've talked to has had anything as ridiculous as mine.
How would you say you've been treated since you've gotten there by the people that run the place?
Well, you know, I generally have tried to stay out of the way, and it seems like if you don't bother them, you know, they generally don't bother you. You know, I mean, obviously it's you know, not good, you know, everybody, and it seems like the majority of, like, the CEOs and stuff were those people that, you know, got picked on in high school, and now they want revenge, you know what I mean,
the prison guards are the people who got picked on in high school?
I guess, it's
wow.
Just, you know, the closest thing I can think, because there's no other reason that they should be, you know, treating people the way they do,
mm-hmm,
you know, talking to people the way they do. It's, you know, I'm still human, but, you know, I mean, you know, I hear them talk to some people, and it's just like,
uh-huh,
it's crazy. But now, however, like the medical staff and stuff, you know, has actually been good, which I think is crazy that I'm getting better medical coverage here than I am on the streets. And that kind of, I think there might be, there sounds to be something wrong with that, but, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, because I spend a lot of time in what they call IHS, which is the inmate health services. You know, since I'm diabetic, I have to go there multiple times a day for insulin shots and all that stuff. And you know, they've been all right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, obviously, I think people should get decent health care, regardless of whether or not they're in the prison system or outside of it. They're all human beings, and everybody deserves some kind of health care.
Right. No, that's kind of what I was getting at. And mm-hmm, you know, but at least I'm getting something in here. So.
Uh huh. So now you went in, I believe, in, was it July?
Yeah, I got sent from the county to here sometime in July, sometime in the middle.
And now it's all coming to an end this week.
Friday will be the morning that I leave. And actually today I found out that that I will not be picked up by any other counties. Everything's cool. Everything's checked out. They've run a lead report, and I got the official notice that when I walk out of here, I will walk out a free man, not on probation of any kind, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely glad about that. That was kind of like the final thing before you go, is you get that notification. So, you know, it feels really good, and I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, I actually talked to some people that, I mean, we should talk after the program about this, in that other county that could have possibly caused some problems because of an unpaid fine, which you weren't able to pay because you were in prison. And
right.
that's the kind of thing you have to be afraid of. You're locked up, and a warrant is issued for your arrest someplace else because you didn't pay a fine. And you have to worry about when you get released that somebody else doesn't come and take you to a different prison.
Paul.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. We got interrupted by the 60-second warning.
Oh, I didn't hear the 60-second warning. Well, basically, I'm just saying that it's kind of ironic that you have to be worried about being sent to a different prison because you weren't able to pay a fine that accrued while you were in this one. But fortunately, that won't be happening in your case. Let me just ask you, Lurid, you'll be able to call us right back?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, we don't want you to get into any brawls or anything using the phone. It's okay to use the phone?
No, there's actually no line, so we don't got to worry about that.
Okay, well, let's continue talking until the last moment runs out. And when you come back, I'd like to talk about the phone system a little bit, like what we had to do to get this thing to actually work.
Okay. Okay, but, you know, anyway,
you
back.
You have 10 seconds left on this call.
All right, well, real quick, you know, back to what I was saying was, you know, generally, I'm just very excited to be going home.
All right, keep talking so I cut you off. All right, didn't get a chance to even do that. It's just so dramatic when you're talking to somebody in a situation like that, and these restrictions are put on you. You can't talk longer than 15 minutes at a time. Or sometimes longer than 15 minutes, period. And it doesn't matter what you're in the middle of. That recording will come on. And, you know, they don't stop the clock while the recording is playing. The clock keeps going. So you have to listen to that guy tell you that you're talking to somebody in a prison or that you only have 60 seconds left or whatnot. And, yeah, it counts towards your time, which is expensive. My goodness, what it costs to talk to people in prison. They really have a captive audience, literally. So it's... It puts things in a whole different perspective when you talk to people like that, in a situation like that. Normally, we just pick up our cell phones, we talk to people however much we want to, we send instant messaging, but when it's something like this, where you have no control over the situation, you have to be around when that call comes in, or you'll miss the call, you can't leave a message, you can't call back, it's frightening, it's sobering. So we're talking to Lurid, who's over there at the Noble Correctional Institution, somewhere in the middle of Ohio, where it's cold and barren. And I went out to visit him. Oh, here he is. Let's see. This
call for.
Don't forget to record your
name
here.
Yeah, okay.
To accept it.
I'm accepting.
Ahead now.
An inmate at Noble Correctional Institution. You have enough funds available for a 15-minute prepaid call. To hear the maximum cost of this call, press 9. For customer assistance and collection or complaint.
Let's do that next time. Let's get Lurid back on.
Your call is being connected. Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
Yeah, okay, as if we have a choice as to which prison phone we can use, but they're thanking us for using their service.
Yeah, because there's so many selections here.
I just want to say, next time, assuming we have time for another call after this, or funds, I want to hit 9 and find out what the total cost for this call could be, just to sort of shock the audience a little bit.
Okay.
That's always fun.
Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about the actual, what you have to go through to make a call.
Well, okay, first of all, you know, we're forced to use a service called Global Tel Link. And if you look it up online, you know, you'll only hear horrible things about it, like at ripoffreport.com. I guess they're a branch, as far as I can figure, they're some form of branch of MCI, and the calls are ridiculously expensive, and when you prepay, you're supposed to get a 20% discount, is what they tell you, but nobody gets it, and, you know, the calls are just ridiculous. Like, for me to call home, it's somewhere around, you know, $8, and I'm about 2.5 hours away from home. So,
and usually people who are in a situation like what you're in don't have a whole lot of cash floating around to cover these calls.
Right, and I mean there's numerous people that when they first get here, you know, they can call home, and that once that bill hits $100, you know, that they cut it off, and then you have to make a prepaid account after that.
Oh, really?
That's a complicated process in itself. You know, talking to my family, and I mean, and from what you've told me, you know, I mean, it just takes forever, and you can't really understand the people that you're talking to. And
well, yeah, it's an interesting story. First of all, can you hear the clicking that I'm hearing?
No.
About every 3 seconds, I hear a click. I'm not sure what that is. Could be someone listening in, but that's fine. Just listen in a little bit less noisily, so I can hear. What I have to do when I call, I have to call a certain number, an 800 number, and enter the phone number that you're allowed to call. First of all, you get a list of phone numbers that you're allowed to call, correct?
Right. I have to go into an administrative menu for my specific PIN number and all that, and from there I have to add numbers to an allowed call list, which I can only guess is so they can keep tabs on who I'm calling. And then from there, you know, it places an automated call to you, which the majority of the time, from what I've heard from the people that I've added to my list, when they answer the phone, it's just silence. And it tries twice a day for 5 days.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you're lucky enough to actually get the recording, you have to accept calls from me. And then from there, I would call them, and generally it's going to say there's some kind of billing issue, and then so I have to then use snail mail to communicate with them to tell them that they, if they want me to call, have to call this number to set up an account, and it's just horrible.
Well, it's incredible. What I usually do, though, and what I have to do, is call that 800 number, then I enter that phone number that you've gotten approval to call. And then it tells me you have a prepaid account. Now, for some reason, you can't do this automatically. Apparently, there are some accounts where it's not prepaid that you're able to add funds to. I'm not sure. I guess you don't get a discount, or you get billed for every call, or there's no guarantee that you won't continue to get billed forever. But I think a prepaid account is better for some reason anyway. So that's what I have. And then I have to wait on hold. And usually the amount of time you have to wait is about half an hour. And just spending time waiting half an hour for somebody to pick up, when someone does pick up, it's almost comical how hard it is to understand what they're saying. They sound like robots most of the time. And when you talk, you hear your voice repeated back a full second and a half after you say something. So it's very difficult to communicate with them. And then they're asking you for phone numbers and credit card numbers and all sorts of things like that. There's numbers flying left and right. It's a very more complicated than necessary process, but it has worked. I usually add about $50 or $100 every time, and it's amazing how quickly that goes. And you already know the answer to this because you had already found out, but the last time I did this, I figured this is going to be the last time I'm adding funds. I might as well find out where in God's name these people are. I figured they were in India or someplace. They just sounded so far away.
Penal institution.
Oops.
They be recorded or monitored.
So I'm sorry when I interrupt him. But I asked, so what country are you actually in? And Lurid, you know the answer to this, right?
Yeah, they're in Argentina.
Argentina. Imagine that. So yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, but that's where they are, and that's the whole process of adding funds. It seems though, I mean, we've talked to people in prison before over phone systems, and usually I think it's harder, not harder insofar as adding funds, but harder in getting numbers approved. Did you find that it wasn't so difficult to add people once they finally did get that phone call?
It's only a one-time thing, you know, once you get them on your account. As soon as they approve it, within 48 hours, generally, I was able to, you know, place the first call. And after that, I never had a problem. And, I mean, and it's not really difficult to, you know, get in the system and add it. So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, you know, so the people that are here that aren't exactly savvy with, you know, automated phone systems, you know, they can figure it out, too.
And you can just pick up a phone and dial your PIN number and modify various things?
One of the things that I can change is when the automated thing, when you pick up, you know, it says, this is a call from, and it's, you know, well, it's supposed to say my name. I'm supposed to make a recording with my name and my inmate number. From there, I guess every 5 days you can change it. I don't know if that's because they have to approve it and make sure, but you know that's one of the options. Another one is just removing numbers from the call list, adding them, and checking the status of numbers on the call list. And other than that, that's pretty much, other than dialing numbers, that's all you can do.
And who makes the phone that you're using now?
You know, I have no idea.
I figured I'd ask you now rather than later.
Yeah, it's definitely, hold on, let me see here. I see absolutely no sign of a company that makes the actual phone.
Uh-huh. Does it look like a payphone?
Yes, it does. It looks like a blue payphone like they have in every institution.
Also like one of those old-fashioned credit card-only phones that they used to have.
Yeah, it looks similar to that. It's just the only thing it says on it is charge a call.
Okay, and they certainly do. They charge through the nose. Okay, well, that's pretty much enough about the phone system, because obviously that's the least of your concerns when you're in a place like that. Any other stories or things that people might not realize about an institution like the one you're in?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, and this is something that just irritates me, and this is one of the reasons why, since I've been here, you know, I mean, here you have the option every 2 weeks to go to the commissary to buy, you know, tobacco and coffee and food and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the things that irritates me is, okay, you used to be able to have your people on the outside send in food, which they called, you know, a food box.
There's a website, in fact, where you can select little items. I could send you ramen noodles if I want to.
Right, but now before I got locked up, your people could just buy things from, you know, any store and just pack it up themselves and send it in,
uh-huh.
And I would be able to get it. Now, you know, they've changed it to the point where you can only get things from commissary from this website, and the things that are on this website are pretty much the same as there are at the store here. And I think that's, you know, it's I don't know, it's some way for them to just, you know, make so much money. I mean, they sign contracts with different companies, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, we're only going to sell this brand, you know, and it just is irritating how much money they're making off of this.
Oh, of course. I mean, they make a ton of money for everybody they incarcerate, whether it's free labor or forcing you to buy their products or use their telephones. It's sad, but unfortunately, that's nothing new.
Right. I mean, this whole thing is all about money. That's the only reason that they even, you know, wanted to send me away. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. They knew that the things that I was charged with were petty. And, I mean, ridiculously.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
You know, that voice has just become a part of life for me. It's obnoxious.
One day we're going to be talking on the phone, excuse me, and I'm going to play that recording and see if you react.
Oh, don't. Please don't.
I'm sorry. I won't.
But
one day you might meet that guy in the street, though.
Oh, I don't. I hope not.
Excuse me. I'm walking down this sidewalk. Would you mind moving to the side, please? And I wouldn't talk like that if I was him, because I'm sure a lot of people don't like that voice anymore.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, you know, back. Really, it's all about money. And
so, okay, explain how it's all about money as far as sending people away. How does the state or the system benefit in that way?
Well, okay, I'm going to use for an example what they were trying to do to me. Okay, so originally they were talking about they weren't going to send me to prison. Okay, they were going to send me into this treatment program for people who violate for drugs. Okay, now, none of my violations, okay, are for drugs, okay? So, and they have no reason to believe that I was on drugs. However, the reason they were wanting to send me to this is because they get a certain amount of money for that, and it has, like, an 88% fail rate. And when you fail the program, then you get sent to prison, and then they get that pay for sending you to prison as well. So, I mean, they're getting double the money, and I don't know how much they get for sending you into that program, but I know that the amount is somewhere in the double-digit thousands, so, for sending you to prison.
And then the real kicker is that they're seen as protecting society for getting dangerous people off the street.
Right, well, I mean, and that's exactly why they don't talk about, you know, the fact that they're getting somewhere, something like $40,000 to send somebody to prison. I mean, it's because they want to appear that they're not doing it for them, they're doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all around, it's just, it's no good. I mean, I mean, now don't get me wrong, there are people that belong here. I mean, that's not, in fact, you know, the majority of the people that are here belong here. However, you know, there are a few people that I've met in this place that don't. And
mm-hmm.
That was just, it doesn't matter. They don't get the time, they don't take the time to get to know you, and they don't take the time to figure out what happened. You know what I mean? Because nobody makes it to trial, because when you go to trial, they just max you out on whatever. And that's what they do, is they scare people into taking a plead out deal. And at that point, the judge never talks to you. The judge only talks to your lawyer. And if you're not fortunate enough to have money to pay your own lawyer, you're getting a court-appointed attorney, which 90% of the time that court-appointed attorney doesn't care what happens to you. And, you know, that all they work for you is a plea bargain just to get you to say that you're guilty, so they don't have to pay the money to have a trial.
Do you think this is something that's part of our whole society? Is this something that's going on not just in Ohio but nationwide?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same everywhere. I mean, there's certain counties in Ohio, you know, like the county that I actually live in, for what happened to me, I probably wouldn't have even been indicted on it. They would have thrown it out because there's just too much stuff going on. They don't have time to deal with that. You know, people in Dayton, you know, they're coming up dead every night in dumpsters, you know, things like that. People getting shot, stabbed. It's you know, they have bigger things to worry about. And you know, but this little county that I got caught in, they pride themselves on their zero tolerance policies and you know, the pettiness and just sending as many people to prison as they can. I've seen them send people to prison for 19 days. Okay? And even in that 19 days, that large sum of money that I was just talking about, they still get it. You know what I mean? And that's the only reason. Instead of just keeping them in county, you know, for that 19 days and letting them go, they ship them away, and then they charge them for the ride to get from county to prison. So,
what happens if they don't pay? They don't go?
I'm sure that would work. I should have thought about that. then when you get
have
here,
60 seconds left on this call.
Time flies so quickly. When I visited you, how long was our visit?
6 hours, six and a half hours.
6.5 hours, and it flew by. It's just incredible.
It,
I mean, you're great to have conversations with, but still, when someone is in prison, I think the time, in some ways, the time goes slowly. In some ways, the time goes really fast. And phone calls is certainly one way.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
You're gonna be able to call us back, right?
Yeah, you have time.
Oh yeah, we have time for one more.
Okay.
But keep talking until it cuts you off. That's kind of dramatic when it does that. So I'm just going to let you ramble on now.
Okay. So, yeah, the moral of this whole thing is that, once again, prison sucks. Don't come. Do everything that you can to avoid it.
You have 10 seconds left on this call.
All right. Well, to make sure that we use every cent of this minute that we just paid for, I'll just start counting down.
It didn't get very far, did you? Oh, boy. Okay, so Lariat has been cut off again, and hopefully he'll be able to reach us one more time from the correctional facility in Ohio. And, I got to say, I've got such respect for him for being able to keep his head in a situation like that. I would not be able to do it, and most people I know I don't think would be able to do it after going through all of this. Being able to keep a sense of humor, being able to stay positive. It's hard. It really is difficult. And you have to wonder how many people out there are in situations like this, or worse situations, because so many people get lost in the system. And how many people, in a nation where over 2 million of us are in prison right now, how many of us really deserve to be there? How many crimes really mandate that you be kept away from everybody else? There are certainly crimes that qualify, violent crimes, things where you're putting other people at risk, making them afraid, hurting them. Oh, here he is. Go ahead.
I have a call for...
Okay.
Go ahead now.
I have a prepaid call from an inmate at Noble Correctional...
See, he didn't record his name.
...of funds available for a 15-minute prepaid call. To hear the maximum cost of this call, press 9.
Okay, we're going to hit 9
this time. Wait is $3.46.5 surcharge and 77.44 cents for the first minute and 77.44 cents for each additional minute, along with a federal universal service fee of 11%. To hear the maximum cost of this call, your call is being connected. Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
Were you able to hear those rates?
It's ridiculous, and I really didn't think he was ever going to stop selling extra charges and extra charges and extra charges.
77.44 cents. I've never heard a rate like that.
That's ridiculous. You know, that's actually the first time that I've heard that recording. That's crazy.
Uh huh. Well, it's one of the last times I'll be able to hear that recording because I don't know anybody else in your facility who can make a call. I was just talking about how there's over 2 million prisoners in this country, and how many of them actually deserve to be locked up. Now, you were mentioning before when you first got in, the first place you were in, how many people there are completely out of control, and yeah, I guess a lot of them should be kept away from the general public. But how do you think so many people get to be like that in the first place?
You know, they have a word for that here. It's called being institutionalized, and it seems that the people that have, you know, the repeat offenders, the people that are here on their fourth and fifth numbers, those are the people that are just, you know, used to all the craziness that goes on here. And then at some point, you know, for me, when I get out, you know, the first 3 days or so, it's probably going to be difficult to drop the habits that I've picked up in here, you know, just to adapt to everybody else. But some people, you know, they do so long that they can't do it, and then that's just who they are now. And, you know, and then they go back out, and once they hit the streets, they're doing the same things that they were doing in here, which, you know, stealing, fighting, just generally doing what they can to cause chaos. They do it on the streets, and they come right back. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's just what happens.
Now, do you think the first time that they're brought into the system, they're brought in for something fairly minor or trivial, and it just keeps snowballing from there?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, most definitely. You know, I mean, one of the rules of prison is you don't really ask people what they're in for. You know, if they want to tell you, they'll tell you. But I mean, you know, thinking, you know, logically, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's what happens. You know, And once again, it just. It sucks, but people get used to this atmosphere, and they don't know how to go back to normal civilization, you know. And there's several people that have left since I've been here, and they're already back.
Wow.
Whether it be on parole violations, which that's a popular one. They like to hand out what they call post-release control, which Here's an interesting fact that I just learned about. So let's say that I got out of here on 5 years post-release control, okay, and I go out and I catch a fifth-degree felony, which carries a maximum of a year, okay, and I catch that the first day I'm out. Okay, when I go to court, they can send me back on PRC violations for half my original sentence. Okay, now they can also send me for the maximum of the new charge and send me back for the rest of the post-release control that I was supposed to be on. So they could send me back for the 5 years that I was supposed to be on post-release control. If I was in here on an F5, they could send me for half of the maximum, which is, you know, 6 months plus the year. You know, it's crazy that they can do it. It's what they call stacking.
My head is swimming with all these numbers and letters and things that you seem to have memorized here. Now, you mentioned that it's going to be hard for you to break some of the habits. What might some of those habits be?
You know, the number one thing I think is going to be, like, sleeping in silence. That's going to probably disturb me. I mean, it's so noisy here that I'm just, you know, that's what I'm used to. And just, you know, some of the ways, you know, some of the slang that you pick up, and some of the, you know, it, it just habits of waking up automatically at 6:30 now is another one, you know. And
can you give us an example of some of the clean? Is there any clean slang?
Emanating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I was asking if there is any clean slang that you could share with us, and if so, just to share it with us if it's possible.
Okay. Well, really, there's not too many. let's see. The big one would be. When anybody asks for something, like if they walk up and they say, yeah, let me get a cigarette, or, well, let me get a bug, is what they say. Since we smoke Bugler, they can't say Bugler or cigarette. It's got to be bug. You know, my reply to them is, that's dead.
That's dead.
That's dead. Yes, that's dead.
And that means no?
That means that's not no, but heck no.
It means heck no. Is that worse than no?
I think so.
All right, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try to spread some of these around the street. So when someone asks me for a cigarette, I'm standing on a corner and I don't have one, I'm going to say that's dead, and I'll live through that.
If you're lucky.
Okay. Now, I imagine there's all kinds of rules, protocol, things like that go on inside a place like that. Anything that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I mean, you know what? You know, the lockdown and stuff. We go down for count multiple times a day, and there you have to be on your rack during the count time, and they lock the bathrooms, and that's horrible always, because I always seem to need to use it whenever they're locked and we can't. You know, that's so, you know, if you get up from your rack, you know, that's a ticket, and then they'll put you on, you know, 30-day commissary restriction. They can put you on phone restriction, visit restriction, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And you know, just some of the things you gotta, like, have your shirt tucked in if you're outside. You know, to be past a certain point outside, you have to be wearing your state blues, which, you know, the state issued pants and state issued shirt. You know, it's just, I mean, it's,
uh-huh.
It's just, it is a lot of rules, but, you know, nobody follows them. And really, I mean, to be honest, like, the inmates really run this place. Like, that's just, mm-hmm. You know how it goes.
I was surprised when I went there and I realized that the guards weren't armed, and you told me the reason for that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not allowed to bring weapons in, not even tasers. Some of the sergeants and captains carry mace, but the reason that, you know, none of the regular corrections officers and stuff are allowed to carry any weapons of any kind is, you know, since we're in a violent offender camp, we could potentially, you know, disarm them and use it against them or use it on another inmate. So that's the reason that they're completely unarmed.
But it's weird that there's more gun control inside a place like that than we have on our streets.
Yeah, and in Ohio you can actually get a conceal and carry license, so you can carry a gun, you know, hidden in your pants.
Uh huh.
It's scary, but.
Well, now tell us, you're getting out on Friday. What are some of the things that you want to do, the first things or just over time?
You know, the number one thing, I'm excited to, I'll be definitely excited to go get some real food. The food here is horrible. It's seriously bad. you know, the inmates make it, so, you know, they don't particularly take any pride in their job since they're getting paid, you know, about 20 cents a day. But, you know, just going out to eat and,
mm-hmm.
you know, sleeping in a bed that's comfortable and, you know, I mean, you know, and showering alone, that's definitely a big thing, because here the showers are just, like, wide open, so it's always awkward, you know. And just, I mean, you know, all the little things that, you know, you do every day, you know, that you don't realize are have any importance or meaning in your life. Like, really, when you get locked up, you know, those are the things that you end up missing the most. You know what I mean? And I just am excited to get back to my family and just, you know, sit around and watch TV with my dad. You know what I'm saying? Just
uh-huh.
stuff like that. And, you know, celebrate my 21st birthday that I had while I was in prison. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's pretty much it.
I imagine you'll be trying to get back on your two feet again, looking for a job, a career, or something like that.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
Yeah, you know, most definitely. And the thing about that is, though, is now, you know, not only do I have felonies on my record, but now I have that prison number. And that makes it even more difficult to find a decent job. You know, I mean...
What's your field of expertise?
You know, the IT field, generally, you know, computers, stuff like that.
And that's how we met, in fact. You had come to the HOPE conference in New York City several times, and you always volunteered to help us out in various ways, one of the hardest working people we ever had. And that's sort of how we got to know you. And you live out in Dayton. We go to Dayton once a year for the hamvention out there. So it's shocking to see how quickly something like this can happen to somebody, and you realize it really could be any of us. What happened to you is not specific to just someone in your state, in your particular position in life. It could be any of us. Any of us could have a friend get in a car that has something they shouldn't have and leaves it in the car, and then you get charged for it, and then all the probation violations, which are all nonsense.
You know, and that's true, and it's really sad to say. You know, I mean, you pretty much just summed it up in that. It could happen to anybody, and it's no good, because, you know, there's some people, you know, that I see in here that don't adapt, you know, very well, and the things that happen to them is just, you know, it's horrible, and it's, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, some people just aren't the prison type, you know what I mean? And
well, you're not the prison type either, but you've adapted, but you're definitely not somebody I would see being in prison for a very long time.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I don't fit in here, but, you know, I've adapted pretty well, and I think that's what's kept me, you know, only getting into, you know, like four fights, that's, in the time I've been here, that's pretty good. I mean, most of the people are fighting, you know, most of these kids that just walk around looking terrified and you know, don't walk with confidence, they don't walk with their head up, you know, you can just tell that they're scared, and people prey on that.
Right.
And, you know, and it's just, you know, they're constantly fighting, or they don't even fight, they do what they call in prison, they call that checking in, and that's, please help me, I don't feel safe, please send me to segregation. And, you know, and these people will spend the majority of their sentence in segregation because they're too terrified to come out into general population. And, you know, segregation itself is just, it really, really stinks.
I just hope that when you get out, you'll be able to leave behind a lot of the rules and manner of behavior that you have to carry in a situation like that. So that you won't feel that a fight is a way to resolve an issue, for instance.
Right. No, and that's something that I've definitely thought a lot about, and I've been thinking that, you know, of all the things I've picked up in here, I'm afraid, you know, that is going to be the worst thing, because, you know, here now, how it stands and how you have to act is, if somebody says something to you, or let's say, you know, somebody drops the B word on you, I mean, you just swing. And that's just how it is, because generally the person who takes that first hit is the person who wins the fight, because, you know, and that's what I've become accustomed to, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that's not me, but, you know, that's just how it is, and I'm just afraid, you know, I'm going to be out some night, you know, at a restaurant or somewhere, and somebody's going to say something, and it's just going to, you know, go off, and I just hope that, I really hope I can figure out a way just to forget this whole place. You know, that's the reason I never got any tattoos in here. It's the reason I, you know, I'm not taking any, you know, anything home with me, because I have no desire to remember this place.
Well, take the books home. We sent you a bunch of books. Or you get to leave those in the library.
No, I definitely am taking the books.
Okay, we sent you some Kafka, I think, and 1984, a bunch of things like that.
Yeah, a bunch of really good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully when you get out, you'll be able to come to New York. Maybe we can find somebody who actually won't care about your sordid past and will hire you because you really are good at what you do and can...
Seconds.
Oh, dear.
On this call.
How many seconds? 60?
Yep, 60
All right.
seconds.
I was just saying it would be nice if you were able to find something that where you're actually able to use your talents and can put all this behind you. So let's keep our fingers crossed. For the listeners, if you have any feedback on this, otw@2600.com is our email address. Lurid, we're down to our last minute, so any last words for the listeners?
All I can say is just you got to be careful because, you know, believe it or not, you know, some people don't choose to believe it, but there are innocent people in prison. And, you know, it seems that the court wants that money so bad that they're just desperate to find a guilty plea, and they'll do whatever they can to send people here. And, you know, just you have to be really careful.
You have 10 seconds left on this call.
Anyway, what I was saying is you just got to be really careful what you do.
All right.
But anyway, world, don't go to prison.
All right. And he's gone. And that's going to do it for us tonight. Heard from our good friend Lurid over there in prison, who will be out soon. OTW2600.com. We'll see you next week for another edition of Off the Wall. Good night. Yeah, that was Stepping Razor by Peter Tosh, right here on WUSB Stony Brook.